This is Chris from Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots, and you're listening to Insomnia Radio Detroit.
And now, from Motor City, USA,
Detroit, Michigan,
spinning the best local original music and giving it to the world, this is Insomnia Radio Detroit. And now, your host for Insomnia Radio Detroit, Les Zaldor.
Hey there, this is Les over at Insomnia Radio Detroit, and you're listening to episode number 8. I'd like to thank everybody for coming back for episode number 8, and welcome all the new listeners. This is another special episode. I know I've done 3 interview episodes in a row, but I think these are all great interviews that I want to get them out as quick as possible. And I think next episode is not going to be an interview episode, so we'll get a little break. This is a great interview with the band is called Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots. I met them at the end of April at a very cool place. Went to Cass Cafe downtown Detroit and got to check them out, as well as a couple other bands playing as well. It's a very good time. I guess they do this kind of get together at the end of every month. They didn't do it at the end of May because they had the Techno Fest going on, but they are going to do it at the end of June. So maybe I might try to get down there again and check it out. A lot of good stuff happening down there. A lot of kind of real indie rock or indie music stuff going on. A lot of arts related. It's all near the Wayne State campus, downtown Detroit. So if you're in the area, there's lots of stuff going on down there, especially during the summertime. A lot of house parties and stuff. Hopefully maybe I'll try to check out some of those house parties and bring the podcast to them and maybe do a whole podcast from one of the house parties. Wouldn't that be cool? But this is an interview I did with Johnny Mundane and Sweet Spots before their show. They are an incredible band live, a lot of fun, a lot of energy. If you want to check out the pictures I took from the show, you can go to my Zaldor.com website, go to my Flickr badge over the right-hand side, and there's some pictures from Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots. Also, there are pictures from the Dirty American show that I went to and a couple other bands as well. So you might want to check out those pictures. Plus, there's lots of pictures from a long time ago that I've taken lots of pictures in the past. I got like 2,000 plus pictures on there. So that's going to do it. This is going to be the interview. Got 3 great songs from Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots. And if you stick around to the very end, I also include the audio from a video commercial that a couple guys, Rob and Nathan, are included in the video that kind of talks about what Detroit music is all about, the arts and everything. It's a really good video, and a lot of people are talking great things about Detroit, and it's really good. And this is something that I think you guys should stick around to the very end of. So stick around for that. Enjoy the interview, and we'll see you on episode number 9. So here it is, Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots with their song, Dextra.
Simple boy, gotta be a simple man.
step all day, he is playing a different hand. For the sorrow, it seems to follow.
I'm here with the guys from Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots. The first question I got asked, since I said I was going to screw the name up, how'd you guys come up with the name, and what does it mean? Introduce yourselves as we talk about that.
My name's Nathan Zokara. I play bass and do vocals for Johnny Mundane. The name pretty much came from a friend of ours. He died in a car accident before, way before we even got the band started, just like in the beginning of the writing phase and stuff, so we decided to kind of dedicate it to him. We're the Sweet Spots. He's his own man, so that kind of thing. So he used to be like an old keyboardist for us earlier in like the early years when we were just kind of recording and starting off, before we even met Rob. So we were with him, and then he got in an accident like I think 75, and that was pretty much it. So we just kept on going, and when we met Rob, we're like, "Oh, it's dedicated to him," and we're Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots. So,
yeah. All right, cool. And Nathan and Chris, your brothers, right? Yeah. How's it like? You're the older brother.
Yes, I am.
What was it like being the older brother of this guy here?
I'm the one that facilitated the band in the sense that I bought him his first bass. I moved out to Detroit for school in 96, and then he was still in high school, and I said I wanted to start a band, and I didn't really want to start a band with anybody but my brother. So before he had any sense of being a musician, I bought him a bass, told him he's going to play bass, and he started playing it, practicing and this and that, getting lessons. And then after he graduated, he came out to Detroit, and we started things up, just he and I, for a while.
So when did the band start as the two? Piece. When? How long ago was that?
4 years now. I came here to school at Wayne State, and then we just started going off right from there. I mean, literally right when I got here, we just started writing. My brother used to live right here downtown on 2nd, and I used to live in the dorms. We used to come over, and we just started practicing. We had no clue what the hell we were going to do. Didn't have a drummer yet. We actually signed up for Dally in the Alley. We made this half-assed demo with a drummer. So we did it one day, sent it to him in hopes that we'd actually get a gig. And then the idea would be we get a drummer. You know, I got here in August. We get a drummer in a month and get our shit done in a month. It didn't happen. I'm kind of glad it didn't because I don't think it would have been that good. Yeah, it was really hard to find a drummer. We went through a couple, and they all kind of flaked out. We had one guy who went to Dave. I forget his last name. He went to Berklee School of Music. He had to cash out real quick. And then we put up a drummer wanted ad up at Wayne State campus, and Rob was the only one that answered. And I'm kind of happy it all kind of worked out from there. And we've been gelling ever since. And we've been going out 2.5 years now. So,
you met them about 2.5 years ago answering an ad. And
my story of joining the band is a lot less of a master plan. It's a lot less romantic. I was walking in Manoogian. I just got out of like debate class, I think it was, and I saw a drummer's wanted thing posted up on the bulletin board, and I just tore one of the numbers off. And it was actually kind of confusing because Nathan didn't have a phone at the time, so he put his roommate's cell phone on there. And yeah, so I called up and got the voicemail. I got the wrong number. This doesn't sound like anything like the name that was listed on the flyer. But yeah, no, we eventually got hooked up, and we started playing. I had just gotten kicked out of a band, but I still had this practice space in Pontiac that, you know, we were paying. Previous band and I, we were collectively paying $150 a month for this really cool practice space. And so I was like, you know, my first question to these guys, when we were doing all the preliminaries over the phone, I was like, so, you know, where are we going to practice? And they're like, well, he lives in an apartment. He lives in an apartment. And like, well, okay. I mean, I live in the dorms, so if we're going to do this, it looks like we're going to have to drive a half hour every time we want to go practice the Pontiac, and that's what we did. We did that for like almost a year. We paid $150 a month for this room. And on top of that, not only did we drive a half hour to and from each way to Pontiac to practice, but we also had to do that same drill for loading up and unloading for shows. We had this room. It was at the ass end of a 100-meter hallway. There, you know, down a flight of stairs, two flights of stairs, and it was just, I don't know how we dealt with that back in the day. It must have been that new band zeal that got us over that hump, because it was fucking miserable.
So is this your first or second band then you've been in?
No, I've been getting kicked out of bands since I was 14.
How do you get kicked out of bands, and how long does it take you to get kicked out of this one?
Well, I'm kind of a control freak, and that, like, this band has worked for me a lot because this is the first time I've been in a role like drummer where, you know, like, secondary is not the right word to use, but it comes close to what I'm trying to explain. Like, I don't write the songs. I know where my territory is, and my biggest role is, like, you know, facilitating, like, when Nathan and Chris write a song, then they present it to me to put in. You know, occasionally I'll be like, you know, maybe you might want to change this part or do that, but I don't really, as a whole, mess with their presented package. What I do is really focus on the dynamic of the song, because it is, you know, the sole rhythm player in a band. You have a lot of power to do that. So, you know, we don't get, I mean, there's no room, like, even if all three of us had the biggest egos in the world, there's no real, like, tangible thing for us to fight over. So it really works well that way, is, you know, small group of people.
So you guys gel well together then?
I think overall, you know, like, we keep everything kind of separate. Like, the way we write songs is, you know, I'll write my stuff on bass by itself with the lyrics and stuff, and then I'll present it to Chris, we'll jam it out, get it figured out. Sometimes with him, he'll give me I like to have something to work with over and over again. I can rewind, so he'll give me a scratch of it, go on, and then we'll get together, work on it. And then if we feel it's good enough, we'll present it in practice, put it down, and if Rob's got anything that we want, you know, that he thinks it might help or whatever like that, we try it out and figure it out and then get done with it. If feels good, we keep it. If we don't, then we move on, you know. So it's worked out really well, and, you know, I think we've been thinking about me and Chris, like, writing songs together, but I think we're going to wait a little while longer on that, because we're still producing really great stuff on our own, and don't fix if it isn't broken, you know. So it's been well. It's been good.
So what are your plans for the next 2007-2008 year?
I don't know if you want my answer. So we're going on tour over the summer for our EP, Black Power Poetry and Lemon Drop. We'll be doing that for the most time in the summer, and then after that breaks, we'll try to stay around here, try to get out in the city. But it is, you know, in the Detroit kind of thing, it's like you have to go out and do the work out there and then come back and then get the notoriety that way. It was really frustrating in the beginning for us, because we were playing to, you know, 10 people around, and it was getting there. People knew our name. You know, people don't come out to shows as well as, like, in any other kind of city. They want to come to places that they know music's going to be really good. And, you know, there's been some kind of notoriety. So, like, that's kind of the name of the game. We're just trying to get out there, get our music out there to other college radios and other college towns and stuff, and go from there, and then really make our name here. So we'll be doing all right. You know, every year is progressive, and as long as it keeps going that way, I want to keep doing it. That's why I'm happy at.
Have you guys played anywhere else other than the Detroit area?
Yeah, we played Hamtramck, Ferndale, been out... I went out to Saginaw, I think. But most of the time we've been around here. We had one show in Oberlin University, which was a house party, but it's probably one of our best shows we've ever played. People taking off shirts, dancing around. I got popped in a lip, moshing and stuff. Floorboards were just bouncing up and down. Complete debauchery. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And we played to 20 people. That earlier that weekend, we played at Wayne State's Man Anthony, which is like a really big concert they had. We played to 2,000 people, and it sucked. And it wasn't that, the energy wasn't there. We played to 20 people, and it blew
the roof off. It was exactly that. Like, we played at Man Anthony, which is, like, as Nathan said, there were like 2,000 people there. We were opening for this guy named Fabulous, this big name rapper, whatever. I haven't heard of him, but you know, we were opening for this guy, and there's a bunch of people there, and we sold a shitload of shirts. Like, I think we sold like $150 worth of shirts just because there were a lot of people there. But of course, the downside is, like, most people were just, like, watching us in the crowd, like, bobbing their head, not really getting into it. And
it sucked, because the guy even got our name wrong. Like, I know it was a long name, but then, like, as an MC, the guy who was running this whole thing got our name wrong, and then he was like a jackass. Like, after I correct him, he's like, oh, well, the band just corrected me.
He's like on the microphone speaking to 2,000 people, and he's being an ass to us.
Just making us look like jackasses. It was like, Wayne State totally was a shithole experience, and like, I'm really upset about it, but whatever.
Was that this year or last?
It was actually, what? It was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. So, you know, yeah, whatever. You know, people are asking us why we didn't play it again. Fuck it. I'm not really down. They had Real Big Fish play this year. And I was like, why the fuck didn't we get them for it? You know, I was like, what the hell are you doing? They wanted to have like this mixed kind of diversity kind of thing going on, you know, rap and rock and all that kind of stuff. And it didn't calculate very well, but whatever, you know, so, yeah.
Well, Chris is like the quietest guy of the three of you guys. You don't have much to say?
No, I don't generally talk to anybody, let alone, I've never been interviewed before, so I'm a little apprehensive about saying much of anything. Kind of the odd man out as it is anyway, because I'm 6 years older than my brother. I've got a wife and two kids, and I teach high school English, so I've got a full-time job. I live in St. Clair Shores, so the disconnect goes between the city and so forth. And, you know, one of the reasons why we couldn't practice early on in my house, because I had a one-year-old daughter sleeping in the other room. And, you know, when shows are over at 2 or 3 in the morning, we got to go and pile the stuff up. I get home at 5:30, and I've got to be, you know, in a classroom at 7:30, 2 hours later. So my rock and roll lifestyle is nothing even close. It's not much of a rock and roll lifestyle at all.
How do you survive in like 2 hours of sleep?
Oh, I don't know. You just do it. Go to sleep and, you know, take what you can. So far, it's worked out pretty well, but...
Like the weapon.
guys want to take this to the next level and make it like a more of a full-time job?
What is the next level?
Touring all over the place. I mean, Chris was just telling me how he's got a wife and a kid, so it's kind of hard to tour with that kind of situation. Is that something you guys would like to do, or just stay like in the Southeast Michigan area, maybe go Ohio, whatever?
Kind of, to me, I always look at it as it depends on how much steam we build up. You know, there's no guarantees in the music business, and that, you know, that's obvious, but, you know, someone gives us an offer, hey, we want you to tour here and here and here, or we're able to build up something where we can take the time out and do so. I think we've gone too far not to see what can happen, and that's the way we look at it. We just keep, like I said, you know, the idea is just keep progressing. We keep doing that every year, and that's cool. So that's the kind of thing. Eyes is always on the prize, but, you know, it depends on what's given to us, you know. Yeah.
We're going out this summer. After the EP's released, hopefully in May, however that works out with their CD release. But so we've got basically weekend dates for June and July, wherever our booking agent can put us, which so far is somewhere further out in Michigan. But then we're doing 2 weeks straight in August, so hopefully we can just motor across the Midwest and take it from there.
So you guys have any sibling rivalry between the two of you guys?
Well, you know,
I gotta ask, because I'm your brothers, and he's the older brother, so you guys gotta have some kind of like...
I think overall, my brother can be a jackass. A little bit. He'll get me a little bit sometimes on some stuff. He likes to push the buttons. But, and I think, I guess we have a little rivalries on that, but nothing of any other sort. When it comes to music and stuff, we both look at each other at different, we both have a different look on music, and we both respect what we're doing. We're both all influenced on the same stuff, and we've just been digging each other. I always looked up to him when he played. And all that kind of stuff. So it's good. You know, I think of the ideas of myself being in another band, and I don't know if I could really do it. I like the idea that how close everyone is already. You know, I couldn't imagine myself, and it happens for other bands. It's got to be hard just to be meshing with people you don't even know. And it's easier for us, I think, because we know exactly where everyone's coming from. You know, we understand your personalities down to the bone. It makes good music, makes good fucking jams, and it makes, you know, if someone says something stupid, we understand where they're coming from, because, you know, they either didn't mean it, or, you know, it was, you know, we understand each other well. It all really works out, and we're really open. We don't really hold anything back. You know, we put everything on the table, because, yeah, you know, and there isn't really anything else to hash out. Everything's been pretty cool. So
Nathan and I live together in Woodbridge, in a house in Woodbridge. We live right next door to the guy who recorded our EP in the White Room. But the backstory to that is, you know, as I said, we were practicing in Pontiac. The dorms at Wayne State sucked, so I wanted to move out. He wanted to get out of his living situation, he being Nathan. You can't really see a finger pointing in an audio interview, sorry. So, I'm like, you know, let's... And I didn't want to do the... I went from being a commuter to being somebody who lived right next to where I had to go to class. I'm like, I don't want to give up. I don't want to give that up. So it's like, why don't we look for a place to live here, and we'll make it a house so we can have a practice space in the basement. That's exactly what we did. May 1st, 2005, we moved to Woodbridge, and, it, you know, Nathan and I will be signing our third-year lease next month. So, Nathan and I have been really close in terms of, like, you know, not only are we in this band together, but we're roommates and we're college students, and, you know, we're a month apart in age, so, you know, we live pretty, you know, parallel lives, and that's helped the rhythm section of Johnny Mundane and the Sweet Spots in many, many ways. But yeah, I'm glad that we moved where we did, because it has been like the sole door of opportunity for this band. It has been everything that this band has, you know, gotten that made us better.
Like, everything's at fingertip. It's right there, literally. Like, you know, Andrew Davis, who recorded our EP at the White Room downtown, he lives right next door to us. That's how we started that up. We did a Woodbridge compilation CD with a bunch of bands in that area, literally on that block between Warren and Putnam on Commonwealth. You know, you got bands, you know, Big Bad Cloud, Commonwealth.
Violin and a banjo duo. Those guys are awesome.
Really good folk. Bunch of techno, Joe Salerno, People Mover, East Splice, Disco Bay, John Arnold, who is, he's a little bit more up on, it's not as independent, he's been touring all over the world and stuff like that.
Up the street from us is the Big Gray Shack, where, and they're pretty central to a lot of Woodbridge rock, because it formerly Blackbird Suite, but now No Man, they live there. and they, I don't even think they have running water. But they fucking rock out there because they're just that hardcore.
Well, they actually had a they had a, like a fundraising show to build up water, to get water in the place. Yeah, I mean, it was like the place was a complete mess, and they made it into a really cool venue slash home. You know, it's all building out. Everybody's doing something, and everybody's helping each other out. And like, you know, it's amazing. It's kick-ass. It's what Detroit, you know, really represents. And sticking by it, man. It's cool. It gets better and better every day.
What's the best way of describing your music?
You know, people give us the, we had the comparison of the White Stripes mixed with Queens of the Stone Age. You know, we mix a lot of, we're really open. We keep it like hard blues rock, but we like blend a lot of like industrial, you know, dance rhythm sometimes. So we just toss stuff out there and it works. Blues is awesome with that because you can build upon it. You can make it as complex as you want it to. And like that's pretty much what we go for. Whatever sounds good to us at a time when we jam stuff out, that's what we go for. You know, me and Chris are really into the old folk blues from Lead Belly, you know, Blind Lemon Jefferson, Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, and we go, you know, I've been digging into Shins, John Frusciante, Billie Holiday. You know, like, we have all this music to us that influence us, and I hope we actually convey that in our music, and we try to strive for. You know, a lot of people say, you're catchy, but you're unusual. I can't pin what your sound is. And, hell, man, that's the best compliment I've ever had of anything, so.
Might help you stand out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know what? The name of the game, the name of the business, you got to be catchy. You got to have something that people can all relate to, and that... In the way I write songs, I want to make sure that anyone can relate to it in some way. If that means it's just a backbeat that someone can nod their head to, you're relating in some way. And if it's deep-ass lyrics and something that someone can hold on to in that way, then so be it. But I like to keep it open, and that's important in music for people to relate to it, make it their own. This is why it's my music, and that's important. That's what we tried to do.
So the EP comes out next month in May, right? What, May 15th? Is that what it is?
Yeah, May 15th. That's the release date. Really, it's not... to me, it won't be accessible really until May 18th at our record release. We'll have it released on CDBaby.com and on our MySpace. Will be links to these sites and stuff like that.
We're on DigStation. You can download the songs and stuff. And that's all through who pressed the CDs. So it's out there right now if you wanted to get it. But we won't officially throw it out there until the 18th. If that's the day we have a release, it seems to be solid.
We're talking to, you know, getting, you know, stuff in stores and stuff like that. You know, Wax Icarus, our label out of Kalamazoo, headed by a guy named Ryan Decker. He's, you know, super behind us and is, you know, he's willing to drive out.
He spent a lot of money on us.
He's willing to go 5 hours, you know, to some city just to get to some indie store and, you know, do what he's got to do. And, you know, that's what he's like, you know what, you guys focus on music. I'll focus on what, you know, what needs to be done and keep it on board. And that, you know.
We have a sweet label behind us. We have a lot of good support in that area. And we got, you know, we got a good contract with the label. I mean, we have a really good situation, you know, because, I mean, you don't have to go too far any direction in the music scene to talk to some musician who's got some fucking horror story about their label and all sorts of bullshit in that area, but we don't, and we want to keep it that way.
How'd you guys find the label? What is it, Wax Icarus, you said?
Yeah, Wax Icarus, it's actually head up on my best friend, Ryan. We grew up at Vicksburg, Michigan together, and we played music together and stuff like that. And he didn't want to do so much performance stuff. I kind of took that, and he wanted to do more production stuff. He wanted to record. I called him up in the summer. I'm like, hey, man, let's fucking do this already. Let's do it. I want to do an EP. I want to get this rolling. You're down. You want to do it? Let's go. That's how it's been ever since. That's another aspect of having stuff in a community. Is I trust Andrew Davis to record our shit. You know, I don't have to think about who is this guy. What do I have to do? You know, what kind of, you know, mind games I have to be involved. I know who he is straight up, you know, and that's the same thing with our label. It's like, we know these guys personally well. We've drank, we've fucking gotten wasted. We know each other, you know, inside and out, and that's good. You know, it has to be done. To me, it's like it has to be done that way, because if you let other people just start running it and you have to figure them out, that's when you get screwed over. And manipulated. And we're in a tight little cast here that everyone's just behind us and is willing to do whatever just to help us out and get us on. So, you know, that's We just want to keep it that way.
I want to talk about how cool Andrew Davis is. We recorded our EP with Andrew at the White Room in Capitol Park in Detroit. In order to strike the balance between affordability, because we paid for our own recording time, so personally, so in order to strike the balance between affordability and actually getting a, you know, a quality number of, you know, quantity of tracks, what Andrew in his I don't know what dimension he pulled this power from, but he did. He laid the offer on the table. He's like, you give me this X amount of dollars, and we'll record for 24 hours straight. Because technically, that's what it buys you. It buys you a day's worth of recording time. Now, whether or not you're sleeping during that time is up to you. From 11 a.m. on Saturday to 11 a.m. on Sunday, we stayed up. You would be amazed at how quickly your cognitive abilities go out the window at about 3 or 4 in the morning. Like, everybody's pulled all-nighters, you know, everybody's done that whole, like, you know, stay up till sunset or whatever. But, like, when you do that on top of being, like, really physical all night, like, playing and pouring out energy all the time, it drains you quicker than anything. It drains you quicker than studying for finals. I was lucky because after the tracking was done, I got to go to sleep because I didn't have to fucking sing. These guys, they had a little bit more of a challenge than I did. But yeah, we recorded our EP, all eight songs that are on there. We recorded 9, but only 8 went on the EP. All 8 songs were recorded in a 24-hour period.
It got a little ridiculous. Like, you know, we're just getting slap happy. We started having giggling fits, talk about singing about pina colonics and whatnot. It got stupid. Like, we laughed for about 20 minutes straight. It was like, what the fuck, dude? What are we doing? Like, we're in this another zone. When I recorded our vocal tracks, these two are passed out, and I get done, I'm dead tired. I kick Chris, I'm like, get in the fucking booth, and I passed out. And like about 6 in the morning, he started, like, we're sleeping in the studio, and he just starts screaming. I wake up, I'm like, what the fuck, man? You know, just singing his tracks. I just remember coming out of that thing and just like sitting down and, you know, driving back home, all of us are just blurry-eyed and completely discombobulated of the world. I think I slept a, like, good 16 hours straight. I can't
imagine. We went to watch the bowl or the Bears game after that. Remember?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we're big Bears fans. We're born out of Chicago, so we went straight to St. Clair Shores to watch the Bears win against they won to the Super Bowl against who the fuck was it? Anyway, when they won the fucking, you know, conference championship. You know, it was weird. It was, like, awesome. Like, we've been dreaming these guys going to the Super Bowl, and it was just, like, kind of surreal. It was, like, a big dream. It was, like, I didn't know if it was really happening or not, but we're just complete. And we drank that whole time, too. We were, like, we went to Target, and we're just, like, you know, completely sleep-deprived and drunk, and we're just making complete asses of ourselves in Target, throwing balls around, fucking just, like, whatever, just being completely stupid. It was fun. It was a weird couple. That weekend was, I can't remember all of it, but it was definitely out of my mind. I don't know, Chris, what did you think of the recording? I
thought it went rather well.
Do you find that since you're the older of these three, of the two of these guys, that you're like kind of like the dad, almost like, or father type figure? You have to slap him upside the head sometimes?
I'm the kind of father that leaves his family, I guess, if that's the sense. Like, if I'm the dad of these two, I'm the dad that goes and leaves. I just don't deal well with all the stuff. So if it gets too heavy for me, I go to my real family and hang out with them. I don't have time to baby anybody else. I've got 2 kids to baby and a house to pay for and all that kind of grown-up stuff you're supposed to do. Yeah, if they got issues or if they have parties, whatever, I generally am not involved. Yeah, I just do my own thing. So.
Well, you guys have anything else to say? We got the what's the website? Give me the website.
We got MySpace. Like, we actually had our own. We still technically do have our own website. Johnny Mundine, thesweetspots.com. You can go to. Go to our MySpace. Or if you want to go through the hassle of MySpace plus/ Johnny Mundine, the sweet spots, and write that motherfucker all out. Go right ahead. Yeah, that's where you can get us at. You know, we've been putting a new song leading up to the release. From the EP, just so people get a taste of it, check it out, see what, you know, they think, give us their word. The EP is called Black Powder Poetry and the Lemon Drop Bomb. That's another long one as well.
You can't name anything, like one or two words. It's got to be this really long bullshit.
At least we don't do that to the tracks of our songs. We keep it to 1 to 2 words. so it all kind of works well.
How did you come up with the name of the Black Powder Poetry?
You're going to have to ask my low-speaking brother over here.
How did I come up with the name? I don't know. I'm an English teacher, like I said. I also teach poetry and creative writing. And I guess if we have team colors, they're yellow and black. So Black Powder Poetry and the Lemon Drop Bomb seem to work. You know, it's one of those things where you just sit down and write, you know, stream of consciousness bullshit for 10 minutes. And, you know, somewhere along the line, Black Powder was on there and poetry was on there and Lemon Drop was on there. And we, I kind of do a lot of the graphic stuff. So I went searching on the web for images for the cover of the EP, and I found an old World War II propaganda poster, I guess, for lack of a better term, about saving tires, recycling tires, and on the front of it is this huge tank called a Long Tom they used back in World War I and World War II.
It's very phallic looking.
And it was a cool image, so I said, I think I'm going to use this, and photoshopped it for a couple hours. So the image on the EP is of this big tank shot from the front, so the Black Powder stuff, I guess, kind of comes from there. Ultimately, our stuff, I think, you know, when you when I write it anyway, I try to take it from a real poetic perspective, so all my lyrics are kind of either real deep or real full of shit, and I do it all on acoustic, so it all comes out real kind of somber and slow and soft, and then we kind of throw it through the machine and it comes out all burnt up and whatever. So the idea of that juxtaposition of poetry and black powder and you know, fire, brimstone, bombs, and so forth, it goes with our name and who we are as far as the band's concerned. So it all kind of came out of that. Whether or not it's convoluted or whatever, I don't know. It's rock and roll, so whatever.
Cool. That's very cool. All right, guys. Thank you very much for interviewing with me.
Yeah, no, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
The primary thing I like about Detroit is
one of the things I really like about Detroit is the
there is a phenomenal amount of opportunity here.
A place that's full of opportunity and possibilities.
You can always find great opportunities.
We're all pioneers here. We're out in the Wild West.
It's still pretty much like the Wild West. You can get away with a lot of shit here.
Possibilities are everywhere, and I want to be part of it.
It is a very exciting place for culture. There's all sorts of things to do.
The opportunities for culture events are amazing.
We have such a great art community.
Right now, it's a really cool place to live amongst artists and students.
It has everything you want, and you can just experience so much here for so little.
You can really be a part of anything you want in the city.
One neat thing about Detroit is you kind of have to find out what's going on and kind of search it out for yourself.
And sometimes you gotta work to find it, but it's a hidden treasure, it honestly is.
Pretty much any house is doing something.
So it's always been happening.
Something's always happening. Whether it's art, writing, poetry, music, whatever, something's always happening.
You have an automatically given underground community that is gonna support you because you are a part of Detroit.
This is one of the only places where you can do that.
I think there's a higher standard amongst musicians here.
Because Detroit's such a hard working class city.
Everybody plays music and everybody's in two or three different bands and they all play different kinds of music.
It's something very magical here.
You can make it in Detroit, you can make it anywhere, period.
And you know, in Detroit, the music never stops anyway. We sure love the beat.
You've been listening to IR Detroit, part of the Insomnia Radio regional family of shows. For detailed show notes and band links, head over to detroit.insomniaradio.net or to subscribe and get it delivered, feeds.feedburner.com/IRDetroit or just look for us in iTunes. Thanks for listening.